taste the Lord, I want more of him because it's a good taste. He's a good taste. But there's something about his taste that I will tell you this, and so this is interesting that the Lord showed me this, is his taste can be very sweet and very pleasant as honey. The taste of the Lord can be as honey. The taste of the Lord can be as delightful and also nourishing to my very soul, my body, my spirit, my entire being. But then there's also a taste of the Lord that's extremely pungent and very strong and very distinct. And that's a taste from the Lord that I'm going to talk about today, and it's called the wisdom of God. See, the wisdom of God is, that's what we're going to seek more of today. Seek more of his wisdom. Anybody in the room that would like more of God's wisdom? Yeah. That's kind of a no-brainer, I think. In James chapter 1, verse 5, he says this. I love this. And this is where we're going to dissect this a little bit. In fact, the whole message is going to be around this passage of Scripture. James chapter 1, starting in verse 5, says this. If any of you lacks wisdom... Okay. One of you lacks wisdom. I do. If any of you lacks wisdom, that in itself is a whoo, hello. Simply let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded and unstable in all his ways. So I got like three little questions I'm going to be asking throughout this. And it's, what are we asking for? Who are we asking? And why are we asking? So I think I'd like to talk first about who we are asking. Because he says this, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously without reproach. There's something in this that I want us to see, to understand, because in understanding and realizing that we need wisdom, I need more wisdom, I need to know where to go to. Do you get more wisdom by going to school? It's just a question. It's not a trick question, I promise. Maybe it is a little bit. You get a little smarter. Does smarts translate into wisdom? We all know the answer to that, because you know some smart people that are kind of foolish, right? So where do we get wisdom then? It depends on where we go to get wisdom. Hello? He says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously. God, who is generous, is looking for people to instill his wisdom into. And he's generous about it. He's generous in it. There's a word that I want to share with you when I was studying and looking into this. Magnanimous. Magnanimous. That's a big word, huh, Trevor? Where's Trevor? Is he back there teaching? Duh. He likes that I use big words. I'll tell you this, and this is between us, you know. I've duped Trevor into thinking that I'm really smart, because I use big words. Robin tries to all the time. he for some reason believes me that I'm really smart because I use big words, and she says, no, he's really not that smart. So what is generous? A God who is generous. Let's talk about that. Let me give you a definition of generous, because I think it's important to understand who we're asking of what we're asking. God who is generous, liberal in giving, sharing of himself, strong in flavor. It's really important to understand that, because when we ask for God's wisdom, what we're asking for is the wisdom of God, who is extremely strong in flavor. Does that make sense? So we say, give me a taste of you, Lord. What are we actually asking him to give us? Of course, we long for, we want that sweet taste, right? We want the dessert taste of God. Hello? But you know there is a taste of God that in his wisdom that's pungent. It's overpowering. It's strong. You know, like, how many of you have some kind of food that you almost can't put on any of your other foods because it overpowers it, such as what? Mustard. How many of you like mustard? You either love mustard or hate mustard, right? Blue cheese. Blue cheese. You put blue cheese on anything and all you're going to taste is what? Blue cheese, right? I like them. I've learned to like those flavors, and I've learned to use them moderately to where that's not all I taste, but I love those flavors now. But as a kid growing up, I didn't like any of those flavors because that's all you tasted. Krista's funny in our household. We love salad. She's funny. Yeah, that's good. We like to eat salad in our house, but we like to mix it up with all kinds of veggies and stuff, but you put a cucumber in her salad, and oh my gosh, she'll practically gag herself to the toilet. I don't know why. She can't even, a cucumber can't even touch anything on her plate because that's all she'll taste. I don't get it, because to me, cucumbers are very mild. They're just delicious. Maybe that's one thing. I remember Grandma, when I used to go to your house when I was like 7 years old, me and Uncle George would go out and Grandpa's garden and just sit and pick all the cucumbers off. And I remember taking a salt shaker out there and just sitting eating cucumber after cucumber after cucumber. I like cucumbers. I don't know, that was a good memory of mine. I know, I wish that garden was still there. I'd probably go out and see it. June 6th, yeah? Why, is there something to that? Oh, I'll take cucumbers. Yeah, thank you. You don't have to wait for my birthday. I mean, I don't have time. But see, God is generous. God is generous. A strong flavor which is easy to identify, like such as mustard, blue cheese. Have you ever had the thought pop into your head, which I hope that's where thoughts pop into your head, right? It's a joke of mine. I always, when somebody says, I was thinking in my head, like, I don't know where else you think, but as you think in your head. Have you ever, I'm really tough. That's okay. Have you ever had a thought in your head to where you say, I don't know if that's from the Lord or not? Come on. Anybody have that thought? Let me give you a little bit of insight. You can almost put it in the bank. If you're not sure, and if there's not an easy identification that it is from God, there's a good chance that it's not. Because God is easy to identify. God is pungent, he's strong, he's very potent. In fact, his wisdom is strong in flavor. That's what that generous also means when he talks about God who is generous, is strong in flavor. In other words, it's not subtle. He's not into, I know we think this, but I think that we think this wrongly. We think that God is into this hide and seek game with us to see if we can find God. And that's not what God is about. He's into being glorified, magnified, showing himself through all creation, through all mankind, to everything. He's into that. We're the ones that make him invisible. We're the ones that put him back on a shelf and say, well, God, when I need you, I'll pull you off. We're the ones that are guilty of that, not God. Hello? So God is extremely identifiable. So when we're having those things, I believe that we can actually put it in the bank that say, if that thought is like, I'm not sure if that's God, well, there's a good chance it's not. You're just having maybe it's a good thought. You can have good thoughts without God. Hello? I don't think I'm wrong there. I think we could have good thoughts without God. I know that sounds like, oh, you just crossed a little bit of a line there. No, listen. What we're, amen, there's something that God did and he made us in his image. There's a lot that goes on that is happening, that God is in everything and through all things, and it's all about him, absolutely, amen. But there's a lot that he gives us. You know, his love, actually, the constitution, if God had a constitution written about him and his love, in that writing, it would be, I write into that constitution of my love, is I make you my chosen vessels that I've created, I've handmade, I've made you sovereign. In other words, I've given you free choice, I've given you free will, because I'm choosing to create you, make you, but I'm also choosing to let you choose me. God is about that. But he's not into hiding himself. He's into exposing who he is. He loves that. He loves for us to see him. He's a good father. What kind of father wants to go around hiding himself from his kids? Hello? A good father, actually. I preface a lot of us because we're all a little bit twisted, aren't we? God is magnanimous. Magnanimous. You ever heard that word before? It's pretty cool. It's a cool word. See if you can find a way to use it this week. Generous in forgiving an insult or an injury. Free from petty resentfulness or vindictiveness. Wow. Have you ever pictured God to be like that? Vindictive, resentful, petty. If you have, you've thought of him wrongly. God is magnanimous, generous in forgiving. Jesus covered it all at the cross. Jesus died for all my sins at the cross. There's no sin that has not been covered. There is no insult to God that is not under the blood of Jesus. There is no transgression, no trespass that I can commit that the blood of Jesus has not covered. Amen? And that goes for all of us. That is a truth that is available to all of us. The blood of Jesus covers it all. Amen? I'm just wondering if sometimes we forget who God is in this asking for wisdom. I think it's an easy thing to do. We get caught up in this world. Things get messy. And when we get into a messy world, we kind of can easily get caught up in the messiness of it and forget how great and glorious and magnanimous and generous God is, and looking for opportunities to instill his wisdom into his children. His children. Guess who that is? Come on, friends. That's us, right? Amen. Michael, can you play that? I want to say, do you guys remember this video that broke the internet about 5 years ago? The little boy is calling out for Linda. I want us to go back to this because I think this is sometimes what happens to us. Can you play it? Is it up? I'm asking you to do it right now.
Listen to me. Like I do this all the time. And if I go out at the house with the little girl, Matthew has his toys, and then Matthew has all his toys.
Okay, but I have to yell at you guys.
Okay, Linda, listen, Linda. Listen.
Okay, what?
Like, everything they do at this house, they can't touch everything at Grandma's house.
Okay.
Okay, then what?
Then you're not listening to me.
Then you're not listening to me.
I asked you not to do something.
Linda, but listen to me. Look it. If you do something, if you get that out, that bird thing off, you're going to break it.
Okay. But I'm letting you know that you cannot, no, I'm, you're not listening to me. Listen to me now.
Listen to me
now. No, you're not listening. I said no cupcakes, and you try to get cupcakes, and you try to ask Grandma. Linda, didn't you?
Linda, lick it, lick it, lick it. If you do something red, I'll just... if you get clothes, you can't even get them. You're going to burn your butt.
What's going to burn your butt? You and Kevin don't listen, so I have to give both of you guys pawpaws in your butt.
But Linda, but Grandpa's going to give you pawpaws in your butt.
No, he's not. I have to... You don't want me to hit Kevin, or you don't want me to spank you?
No.
Why?
Because anybody wants to spank me.
Then I have to spank Kevin.
But he's my little pop-ups.
He's your little pop-ups, but he doesn't listen.
But Linda, honey, look at this. Right now, you can't do anything if you can't get everything out of the wall. If you're going to break everything down.
I'm not breaking anything down. I'm just letting you know you cannot have cupcakes for dinner.
Linda, like this thing, I never belong to you. Anything, you can get anything and anything and anything.
I'm done arguing with you.
I'm done arguing with you.
You need to listen to the things that I say because I'm the mom and I'm the adult.
Linda, look at, listen to me. All the time to get them, this stink,
I'm done arguing with you.
Linda, I'm done arguing with you.
That was hilarious. I know probably everybody's seen that before, but the reason I felt like I wanted to share that is because how the simple approach that the young boy was taking was, I just want cupcakes for dinner. And you're not listening. Linda, you're not listening. I want cupcakes for dinner. And God is so good at giving us that which we actually need that He sees that's best for us and right for us. So when we ask God for that wisdom, what we're really asking God to is inject His wisdom and infuse us with that wisdom that is very distinct, but it's different than the world's wisdom. It's interesting that James uses this conversation or this language when he says, he talks about us asking God who gives generously without reproach, but if you ask, don't doubt, have faith, and don't doubt, because if you doubt, it's like a wave. This language that James uses is intriguing to me because it's a little bit like, are you kidding me? This is the illustration that he uses, this is the picture that he gives us, a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. When I see that, I'm thinking, how is a wave of the sea not driven and tossed by the wind? That's almost like a no-brainer, where it's like, how does a wave hold steady through the ocean? Do you hear what he's actually implying here? He's saying, even though you're in the midst of your circumstances, you could even call yourself in a boat, on a wave, in the ocean, with the wind blowing, still hold steady. Don't get tossed around. Well, how do I not get tossed around when I'm in something that is tossing me around? Called life. Hello? That's when I hear that, I'm like, how does he expect us to do this? How is this even possible? How is this a doable thing? Is this attainable? Can I stand still and be steady and ask God to give me wisdom when that which I'm standing in is tossing me and blowing me and blasting me with everything that it has? Hello? Life is like this, right? This is real stuff. This is real stuff. And he's saying, it's almost as though it's not necessarily a condemnation as much as it is a reality check. When you ask God for this wisdom, who is looking to give generously, as a magnanimous God, when you ask Him for that, trust Him. Actually, really trust Him. Actually ask Him for the right reason. So we're asking God to give us the wisdom from God in the midst of stuff that's blowing us and knocking us and blasting us, tossing us. even the word he uses is even driving us. Driving us. What drives you? What drives you? What drives me? In other words, what's forcing you to move in a direction? Any direction. What forces us to move? What drives us? It's a deep question, huh? It's a question that we might want to be asking. I'm thinking, what? I'll tell you what drives, and I don't think I'm wrong in this. I think what drives 99.9% all of us, at least in this culture, where we live here, in the United States of America, in the state of California, in this great city of Lincoln, comfort. Comfort. We could say fear, we could say worry, we could say health, we say, but or needs or desires, but it's comfort.
It's become a
yeah, yeah, it's comfort.
I think it's cupcakes.
Cupcakes. Perfect. Listen. Oh, it's a funny thing to do is to walk into the thrift store and say, Linda, listen to me. Linda. She's like, what? Not that she hasn't heard that at least 1,000 times. I know. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's why even asking when he tells us to ask God, if you lack wisdom, ask God for the wisdom who gives generously without reproach. And I love that. I love that even the word without reproach. You know what that means actually? Anybody? Any takers? Amen. There you go. It's without criticism, not looking to blame, not looking to disgrace, not looking to find fault, not looking to discredit, shame, or scorn you. So God, who's looking to actually generously give you the wisdom without saying, you stupid idiot, you should have done this from the first place. Hello? God's not you. You're not like God. I know you want to say that to everybody who blows it. Right? God doesn't. He's not looking to do that. He's looking to give you wisdom without reproach. In other words, not looking at you like, I told you so. Never does that. That's not God. Right? Okay. Right? Amen. Come on. So what is wisdom? Let's break this down. We're talking about who we ask. We're asking God for wisdom. I can go the whole thing about, yeah, we can ask Google for wisdom and then maybe you'll find it. I prefer to go to God who, he was around a lot longer than Google. Yeah, really. God has wisdom. That's who we go to. So what is this wisdom? James chapter 3. So again, in James, I love how it breaks it down. He then breaks it down in the middle of his letter. In chapter 3, starting verse 13, says this. I'm reading out a New Living Translation. It says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth. Be honest about it with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfish ambition, jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil kind. Let me just break down real quick, and I'm going to do something for a moment here before I move on, and I'm going to carry on from there. You can kind of, let me give you, if I dare, I'm just going to do it, is how do you know that this exists in your heart? Maybe jealousy and selfish ambition. How can you identify it? Where can you find a spot that maybe that exists in your life? I'm going to ask that question. I'm going to give you an answer where I think we can find it. And here's how the best place to go to find it, to actually gauge, to determine if there is jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, is this, in this one area. It's easy to identify. It's usually where it pops up the most prominent is in the area of other people getting blessed. I'm serious. It's an easy one. Where other people get blessed, what's the first thing that comes to your heart? What about me? Where's mine? They don't deserve that. How come that happened to them? How come they got that? Boy, if anybody knew what they actually did with that stuff, boy, they would. I don't think they'd give to them. I don't think they'd help. Ooh, that just like, sorry about that. That was a dentist drill going into the root canal of maybe your soul, right? No, don't raise your hand. Don't just be honest with God. Take it to God because it's the best place to go because He gives wisdom without reproach. He's good at dealing with your selfish heart. I'm not. God is. He's really good at dealing with it because He loves you. I love you, but not like God loves you. And I don't have the ability to forgive your sins and take it away, but God does. Amen. He does mine too. Even for the sake, you know, we had this extremely successful and fantastic evening here Friday night called our gala, and it was amazing. Testimonies were shared. God's goodness, God's glory, God's greatness was being exposed to people in the community that have much. And God moved in that crowd. God moved in here. And it was amazing. And it was fantastic. And blessings were being poured into this ministry, into our work here, into people's lives. And it was awesome. And I know, and I know, and I know that there's people that still struggle with, how dare you give to them? And it breaks my heart because it comes from a jealous, selfish heart that people come up with that. And it hurts me in the fact that I see that that's what they're doing, what is happening there is a closeness of heart that doesn't allow God to pour into that person's life the blessings that God's looking to pour into. And I think that's key to understanding God's wisdom. Whenever I'm dealing with these things in my heart, is to be like what James is talking about here. Don't cover it up. Don't hide it. Don't lie about it. Don't make it something other than it's not. In fact, that's usually what we do. When we become jealous or selfish, we'll find a reason to justify and even validify that jealousy and that selfishness and say, well, they are wrong. They're horrible people. And we've had it happen. Love Facebook, right? Because it's the best place you can go on and talk bad about an organization or a group of people and never have any consequences for it. Right? Isn't that what it's for? I'm just kidding. Come on, guys. No. My grandma just said, no. I know, you could say nice things. My grandma says, heck, if I didn't have Facebook, I wouldn't know what's going on in my family. So I... Yeah. So let's move on and let's go through this because I think it's great because this is actually descriptive of what actually this wisdom from God looks like and is. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving. It is gentle at all times and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Do you hear what that's saying? Do you hear what also wisdom is about? Because this is getting into the why. Why do we ask God for this wisdom? Because you see what is actually happening, and you see the premise of all this godly wisdom that actually looks like God is, what is it? It's not selfish. Every aspect of wisdom involves me blessing somebody else, me doing something for somebody else, me loving somebody else. In other words, none of it's about me. None of the wisdom of God, in fact, worldly wisdom blesses me and only me. Looks out for me, number one. Godly wisdom is looking for opportunities to bless other people. Hello? That's easy to identify, kind of. I mean, because that's where when I'm saying, if I lack wisdom, I think that the obvious, and I believe that is in James asking that, is not a question that is like, hey, just think about this. If you're maybe at a place where you lack wisdom, what he's actually asking is, it's a rhetorical question. If any of you lacks wisdom, in other words, the obvious answer is yes, all of us do. In other words, all of us need more of this. Hello? You guys with me? You still with me? Okay, good. We need more of this wisdom where we are looking to invest into other people's lives. We're looking to bless other people's lives. Where we're looking to be gentle at all times, willing to yield, full of mercy, full of the fruit of good deeds, showing no favoritism. Oh, James is really, really harsh on that very aspect. So much so, he actually points out a scenario. If somebody comes into your setting, into your room, and they have fine clothes and nice jewelry, and they look like they got it all together, so be careful that you don't give them the best seat. And then the other person that comes in that looks a little haggard, that looks like they just maybe they can't help you, so maybe you put them in the back. Said, what you have just done is evil in your heart, because you have played favorites because of how people appear. Said, be careful, repent, don't go there. Amen? Amen. That's why the work that we do here at the Salt Mine, and I need you to hear this, all year long our doors are open to give, to give, to give to anybody and everybody in need, right? Amen. Those same doors are the doors that open up for people to come into our midst that can give and help us give. It's not playing favorites. It's allowing all to be blessed in this community. That's the heartbeat of mine that I can't seem to shake, and I'm glad because I love it. I want to see all people blessed by God. All people. Because if you have a lot of money, guess what you more than likely have? Money issues. Right? You need blessings too. Amen. Come on. Wow, okay. It's getting tougher and tougher, Alfonso. I need to get moving. Let's go through this. Why are we asking? Let's go back into this, because it's kind of the premise of why we need to asking who, what we're asking. Now, why are we asking? Because he says it when James, when he's talking about this, when he actually gives us this first, said, when we ask, let us ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea. In other words, what he's really implying here, ask for the right reason. Ask for the right reason with faith so that you're not tossed about by the wind. In Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3, this is where we get, I believe, our answer. This is Paul writing to the Philippians in regards to the attitude of Christ. He says, don't be, this is a New Living Translation, sorry for changing up translations on you, but the New Living Translation says this: don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. There's a word in here I'm going to highlight because I think it's the word that we need to identify as to help us understand what he's talking about here. The word is interest. Interest is a open-ended word. What that means is there's no limit to what it covers. No limit to what it covers. Remember, Stephen had a question last week. What was it? What is all things? We could actually put that wording in there. Don't look out for only your all things, but take an interest or take all things in others. In other words, this is the attitude of Jesus. This is the perspective of Jesus. And this is what he's saying, that you must have the attitude and the mind of Christ in this. When we ask for God's wisdom, what we're asking God to do is infuse in us a Christ-like attitude and perspective, that I am now not just looking out for my own interests, my own benefit, but I'm looking out for the benefit and the interest, the all things in other people. That means their financial interests, their relational interests, their deep-rooted issue interests, the things that they're struggling with and dealing with. Maybe it's stuff in their life. Maybe, and I know this is really hard to really try to wrap your brain around, it may be stuff that they brought on themselves, all by themselves. In other words, they made a mess of their lives without anybody's help. Anybody know anybody like that? Yeah, you know people like that. There's definitely nobody in this room that's like that, right? But that's what we are need to be about. Isn't that what Christianity is? Isn't that is being like Christ? Like Christ is where we actually are like him. You know what Jesus did, right? He gave up his life so that we could have life. He gave up his all things so that we could have all things. And he's asking us to do the same. And so when we ask God, when he says, when you lack wisdom, and guess what you do? Ask God and he will give generously. Oh man, now that got a little bit different, didn't it? I thought that generous thing was for me to be blessed. No, it's for you to bless others. God is going to give you generously a generous amount of grace to help and bless others if you simply ask and want him to. Hello? That got really deep, didn't it? Because it became nothing about me and all about me being a steward, a blessing, a vessel to be like Jesus in a dark and decaying world that needs salt and light. Amen? Amen. I'm just about finished, I promise. So the why becomes the deal breaker or the deal maker in getting the wisdom of God. The deal breaker is this: if I'm asking for God to give me more wisdom for my own benefit, I'm asking God to give me basically something that will bless me and only me. Does that make sense? I'll try to give an example without getting into anybody's business. So when I just simply ask God, God, give me, because asking God for wisdom is not wrong, but I need to ask it for the right reason. God, give me the wisdom to what to do with this deal, whether to go into business with this person, whether to buy this car, whether to go this direction. Where those are things that I think that we need to ask God for all the time, absolutely. But if it's about simply just me being blessed and me having a little more, me being able to do the things that I want to do with my life, I believe that's where we're asking for God for the wrong reasons. And I think that's the deal breaker in God giving us the wisdom, simply because of the premise of that wisdom. That wisdom that God is giving is pure, peace-loving, gentle, kind, thoughtful, looking out for the interests of others. So when you're asking God for something that you're asking God to give you something that doesn't fit what God is wanting to give you. Does that make sense a little bit? Because in that wisdom that God gives, it's for us to bless others. But if I'm not looking for that wisdom for an opportunity to bless others, and I'm looking at just for me to improve myself, he's not into that. He's into you, using you to bless others. I know that's a little bit gritty, isn't it? Because it may be even opposite of what we've kind of heard and how we think God should be. God just loves me and wants me to be happy, right? Absolutely, He does. He loves you. He wants you to be happy. But here's the deal maker, and I'm going to share this. This is the deal maker. If I'm asking God, who is generous, for more wisdom to become more Christ-like and to help others, that wisdom of God will, He will give generously. He will give generously without reproach. Remember, that's without reproach. That's not looking to blame, disgrace, find fault, discredit, shame, or scorn. He puts, so what that looks like is this, where God is putting the wisdom, His wisdom, into your mind, into your heart, into your soul, and into your spirit, that puts the same value on others that Jesus put on you. Did you hear that? The wisdom of God puts the same value of others that He put on you. That's what God's wisdom looks like. Hello? So it's not selfish. It's not jealous. It's not looking how that person can give me what I want. It's looking for an opportunity. As I run across, and I run across many wealthy people, I don't look at them and say, oh man, they could really give a lot. They could help us out. Do you know what I look at them as? Like, how can God pour into that person's life the blessing that they need? Because they have the need of money. They don't need money, but they have needs. Hello? People that have money have needs, just like you who don't have money have the need of money. That got twisted, but that's, you guys get what I'm saying, right? Money is not the issue. We want to make it the issue, but it's not. It really isn't. It's about how we can bless others. But here's the awesome caveat. That's an odd word. Somebody help me out that's smart. How do you spell it? I'm seriously asking. That's not how you spell it. And it's not IT either. It's not. I've looked it up 1,000 times. It's not how you spell it. Okay. I don't know. I'm actually asking. That's not how you spell it. It does not start with a C and an A or a V. Okay, never mind. Forget it. You guys know what it is, right? Look it up. You will not find it as caveat in the dictionary. You did? Okay. My dictionary app has got to go. All right. Thank you. I'll spell it right. But here's what it is the caveat. Listen. The caveat to asking God for wisdom for the right reason. Listen to this. This is great. This is a great deal that you don't want to miss. It's a double deal. Because when we ask God for that wisdom for the right reason, you get the opportunity to bless others without you even, but without you even seeking it, you get blessed also. Okay, let's picture it like this. You're a big, large pitcher of just an empty vessel, a clay pot, if you will. You ask God, God, give me more wisdom, and you do it for the right reason, so I could turn and bless others. Guess what God's got to do? He's got to pour Himself into you. But in pouring Himself into you, do you realize what's happening, right? What's happening as He's pouring Himself into you so that you're overflowing, you're getting all of that too. So what you might think of, well, if I do that, if I'm looking to just give to others and looking to help others, what about me? Then you miss all of it. But if you're looking to help others and bless others, you get all of God's blessings that you're pouring into others. They're going through you. That means you're getting to be a part of it. Come on, is that just like 2 + 2 = 4 to me? How come that's so simple? Why don't we do it? Because what drives us, right? It might make us a little uncomfortable. Right? So what drives us? Is faith driving us? Because he says when you ask, ask in faith and don't doubt, don't question, but trust God that he is willing and wanting to pour into you. Trust God that you will be blessed above and beyond you can ever ask or imagine. This covers all areas of life. Financially, relationally. I mean, I'll tell you this, and it's... I love to bless my wife. Why do I love to bless my wife? She's beautiful, yes, she deserves it. All of the reasons, all those are good reasons. It's obedience to the Lord. Yes, those are reasons. But I've learned something. I've learned this 2+2=4 equation in blessing. Is when I learned tonight, love to bless her and pour into her. I mean, so much so. I mean, it's even just simple things. Simple things. And she doesn't take advantage of it. She doesn't misuse me in it. I mean, we'll both be sitting in a recliner chair watching a TV show, and she'll look at me and she'll ask me, hey, will you go get me this or that? And we're both sitting there relaxing. Do you know what my first response is without question or doubt? No, I'm serious. Is to jump right up and get it and do it for her. I have never once said, get it yourself. I'm sitting here just relaxing just like you. Why are you asking me to do it? Hello? Hello? Now, Trevor, on the other hand, he tests me in this. He says, hey, Eric, will you get me this or that? I'm like, no, you need to learn how to take care of yourself, young man. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's how it is. But do you see what I'm saying? Do you see where that translates into actual doing these things, actually being this way, actually being like Christ? Do you understand where I went there real quick? And that was just a small illustration, but I think those small things matter and the small things make into big things. Hello? In other words, I think that Jesus is asking us to be like him in this, is to bless others without reproach, to give generously without reproach. The phrase that doesn't fit, it's not biblical, is, well, help, God helps them who help themselves. No, that's not how it works. It's not truth. That's not the Christ-like way. Aren't you glad? Let me tell you, aren't you glad that Jesus only helped that, well, how do I say it? Aren't you glad for the grace of God that Jesus helped you when you were unable to help yourself? Yes, me too. I'm glad that that's not a biblical truth. So much so that my soul and my life depends on the actual truth that Jesus died for me, a sinner, not a saint, not able to help myself, not able to pull myself out of a pit. I needed Jesus, a God who is magnanimous, to reach in and grab me without reproach and say, come on up, son. I love you. I love you. Amen? One last phrase or thought. This mindset looks foolish and contrary to worldly wisdom, which is deceptively destructive. The deceptively destructive wisdom of the world says, look out for number one. It will destroy you. It will bring you to the end. In fact, the end result is destruction, looking out for number one. 1 Corinthians 3:18, Paul said it like this, stop deceiving yourselves. If you think that you are wise by these world standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. Huh. That's what God's telling us to do. Be a fool like Christ. Do the things that the world looks up like as stupid, idiotic, foolish. Why would you give? Why would you help? Why would you put yourself out there like that? God says, because I'm being like Jesus. You got to have that testimony. The flavor of God needs to be strong enough to identify, even smell when you come in the room, like onions. I know, we need to reek like onions. Broccoli. You ever cook broccoli in the house? It stinks up the whole house for like a day. That's what we need to smell like when we walk in the room. I'm not saying don't go take a shower. I'm just saying we need to be so identifiable to the world, so different that we look foolish to them. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your kindness and your goodness that draws us, that leads us to repentance, that leads us to your grace, but doesn't just lead us and say, try to figure it out. You lead us to your grace and say, here, now go and make disciples to be like me. We thank you, Jesus, that you've given us a purpose. You've given us a vision. You've given us hope and a calling. Be noticed in the world as your people. Even when they look at us like fools, we're looking like you, Jesus. Blessing others, helping others, investing in others, to see you, Jesus, moving, to see you blessing others. Oh, we want to see your blessings move in our midst, move in this fellowship, move in this city. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah and amen. Amen.